Hello, this is David Wilcoxon, and this is the third and last part of the explanation of the two covenants that are referred to in Daniel 9. In the first two videos, I cited a lot of verses to help you see that the prayer in Daniel 9 is about two covenants, the Everlasting Covenant and the Mosaic Covenant. Both of them existed before the covenant is mentioned in Daniel 9:27. The two covenants intersect at the cross of Messiah, who ratified, confirmed the everlasting covenant as the spotless Passover lamb, and fulfilled the Mosaic covenant so that the curse passes over those who believe in him. Understanding the narrative of these two covenants provides proof that it is Messiah the Prince who is being referred to in Daniel 9:27, so that we see it's not about the end times or the Antichrist. So please watch the first two videos about the covenant in Daniel 9 before watching this one. On the cross of Calvary, Messiah renewed the Abrahamic everlasting covenant of mercy with his blood. John 8:56 alludes to this. It says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Matthew 26:28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." In these words, we find four things that agree with the prophecy in Daniel 9:27. The one who confirmed the covenant, Messiah, the covenant itself, which was referred to in Daniel 9, the everlasting covenant, that which confirmed the covenant, the blood of Messiah, and those who received the benefits of the covenant, the many who believed in him. Romans 15:8 proclaims that Messiah confirmed the promises made to Father Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, that the spotless lamb would come to confirm the everlasting covenant. It says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Galatians 3:16-17 proclaims that the covenant confirmed in Messiah, the everlasting covenant, existed before the Mosaic law covenant. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect." We see a perfect match, as Daniel 9:27 says that he, Messiah the Prince, confirms the covenant. Colossians 2:13-14 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." People are dead in their sins because of the Mosaic covenant, as they cannot obey it perfectly. Messiah's one-time atonement paid the price for our sin, so that the legal charge against us is annulled. The Apostle Paul is saying that the ceremonial law of the Mosaic covenant, which the Israelites proclaimed that they could keep perfectly, but failed to do so, was fulfilled in Messiah's life and atoning work. He is not saying that the moral law was nailed to the cross. That has been written on our hearts and minds, and the Spirit prompts us to keep it out of love for our Father. Messiah, the co-author of the everlasting covenant, confirmed it through his sacrificial death. We see the dichotomy of believing Jews and unbelieving Jews in the context of Hebrews 7. Verses 18 and 19 say, "For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." The law was a schoolmaster to give the Israelites a foundation for living for the Heavenly Father, but it also pointed to their inability to obey it perfectly. Hebrews 7:22-24 says, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." The word surety means to pledge as a bondsman. Messiah agreed to be the surety, the blood sacrifice that ratifies, confirms the covenant. Hebrews 7:27-28 says, "Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." The Jewish priestly system is no longer needed, as Messiah, the high priest, has fulfilled the requirements of the Mosaic law as no man could. Hebrews 9:15 to 17 says, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Hebrews 9:26 to 28 says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Hebrews 12:24 says that he is the mediator of the covenant. "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Hebrews 13:20 points to Messiah's blood being shed to confirm the everlasting covenant. "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Messiah came to renew the Abrahamic everlasting covenant of mercy by ratifying, confirming it as the perfect spotless lamb. The key is that divinity finalized and signed the covenant on both sides. Messiah, our high priest, agreed to offer himself as the one-time sacrifice for sin to be our representative and intercessor. To affirm that, I want to bring the story full circle with a passage about Abraham in Genesis 15. When we read the narrative, we see a really interesting event which points to what occurred in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel 9. The father had Abraham make animal sacrifices and divide them into two piles. When the fowls came down to eat the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. After waiting through the day, Abraham became tired, and when the sun went down, a great darkness fell upon him, and he fell into a deep sleep. Then Genesis 15:17 declares, "And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces." That seems like an insignificant verse, but it's quite amazing. The smoking furnace points to the father, who appeared as a burning bush when the Mosaic covenant was given to Moses. The burning lamp points to Messiah, who is the light of the world. Messiah not only confirmed the Abrahamic everlasting covenant with his blood in the middle of the 7 years of the 70th week of Daniel, which ended the need for temple sacrifices, but he is the originator of the covenant, which needed to be ratified, confirmed with his pure blood. The father and his son passed through the two piles of animals to make a pact before Abraham, but with him not involved at this point as he was asleep. Now let's relate this narrative to the 70th week of Daniel 9. Daniel 9:26 says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." Isaiah 53:8 points to Messiah dying for our sins. "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken." It's pointing to Messiah dying from a violent death. The Strong's Hebrew word for cut off means to covenant, to make an alliance or bargain, originally by cutting flesh and passing between the pieces. We see the connection to Genesis 15:17, when the father and his son passed through the two sacrifice piles, and Messiah agreed to die, to be cut off, to ratify the Abrahamic everlasting covenant. Daniel 9:27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant." The word covenant means a compact, because made by passing between pieces of flesh. So now we see absolute proof that the covenant in Daniel 9:27 is directly connected to Messiah the Prince in the previous verses. Messiah is the mediator of the everlasting covenant, which came first before the Mosaic covenant, but wasn't ratified until Messiah died as the spotless Passover lamb. The Mosaic covenant, which came afterward and was satisfied by the blood of animals, was fulfilled when Messiah ratified the everlasting covenant. We see them intersect at the cross of Calvary. But only the Abrahamic everlasting covenant moves forward after Messiah's death. That's not to say that we shouldn't obey the Heavenly Father's commandments, because John in his epistles and Revelation tells us to do exactly that. But we do it out of love for the Father, not to earn salvation. There's no need for the ceremonial laws of the priests or temple sacrifices of the Mosaic covenant, as Messiah's one-time sacrifice paid for all sins. This is what Daniel describes in Daniel 9:27. It says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, in the middle of the 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease." So he caused the need for temple animal sacrifices to cease. The word confirm means that the covenant already existed. Daniel pleaded with the Father to remember the Abrahamic everlasting covenant of mercy to atone for their sins. So the proper context of the covenant in verse 27 is the one that's referred to in verse 4. Any other explanation is out of context. And many New Testament scriptures proclaim that Messiah authored and confirmed the everlasting covenant with his blood. People protest that Daniel 9:27 points to a 7-year covenant, so they say that it can't be the everlasting covenant. But the passage does not say it's a 7-year covenant. Rather, it declares that the covenant is confirmed in the 7 years of the 70th week. Messiah's words, his miracles, his death and resurrection prove that he is the anointed one who came to ratify, confirm the everlasting covenant. Messiah and his disciples proclaimed repentance and the gospel message to the Jews during the 7 years of the 70th week. The Apostle Paul proclaims that the gospel was declared to the Jews first, then the Gentiles. That took place during the 7 years of the 70th week of Daniel 9. Adam Clark's commentary on the Bible says, "This confirmation of the covenant must take in the ministry of John the Baptist with that of the Lord, comprehending the term of 7 years, during the whole of which he might be well said to confirm or ratify the new covenant with mankind. Our Lord says, the law was until John, but from his first public preaching the kingdom of God, or gospel dispensation, commenced. These 7 years, added to the 483, complete the 490 years, or 70 prophetic weeks, so that the whole of this prophecy, from the times and corresponding events, has been fulfilled to the very letter." Joseph Benson's commentary of the Old Testament and New Testaments, in 1794, says, "He shall confirm this covenant with many, not with all, which marks the exclusion of the obstinate and impious Jews, whose fate is predicted in the preceding and following clause." You may not be aware of this, but the Hebrew manuscripts don't have every word that we see in the King James Bible. Here's the Daniel 9:27 text with the Hebrew words after each part. So we see confirm in the Hebrew word, covenant, Hebrew word, meni, the Hebrew word, one, Hebrew word, and week, Hebrew word. There is not a Hebrew word after the word for. It's a conjunction that Bible translators use to make the passage read well. The English words that are associated with Hebrew words are confirm, covenant, many, 1 week. Yet the King James Bible reads, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." The interpreters applied the other words to make it read better. When you leave out the word for, we see that it's simply declaring that he confirms the covenant during the 70th week. The Young's literal Bible translation leaves out the word for, "And he hath strengthened the covenant with many, 1 week." The Aramaic Bible in Plain English translation leaves out the word for, "And he shall strengthen the covenant with many, 1 week." The Literal Standard Bible Version acknowledges that the word for is added. They put it in brackets. And it says, "And he has strengthened the covenant with many, 1 period of 7. Daniel 9:27 points to the 1 week left in the 70-week prophecy, during which Messiah confirmed the covenant. And then it tells us when that occurred, in the middle of the week. We know that Messiah's one-time blood sacrifice ended the need for temple animal sacrifices, which was marked by the Heavenly Father tearing the temple curtain in two, symbolizing that the Jewish priest no longer needed to make atonement for the people's sins. So let's go back to Daniel 9:4 to bring the narrative to a close. The Jews failed to keep the Mosaic covenant, and Daniel reminded the Heavenly Father about the covenant and mercy given to them that love him and keep his commandments. Now let's read the story of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, who paved the way for Messiah. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to the fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Our saving faith is through the covenant of mercy, as we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of our Father in heaven. By his grace he sent his beloved Son to confirm the everlasting covenant with his blood as the spotless Passover lamb, which redeems those who, like Abraham, believe by faith and seek to obey the Father, not to earn salvation, but out of love for his mercy in our life. I hope the explanation in the study makes sense to you, so that you can see how this 70th week of Daniel 9 was about Messiah. In the scriptures, there are nearly 300 references to the word covenant, and not one of them is about a covenant being by the Antichrist. We see that all the fanciful stories about the 70th week of Daniel 9 being about an end-time 7-year tribulation period are without merit. Not only is an end-time 70th week of Daniel 9 wrong, but so is the narrative that most of the prophecies in Revelation will be fulfilled during the last 7 years. The truth is that the prophecies in Revelation have been in the process of being fulfilled since it was written, and there's not much left to be fulfilled before Messiah returns. I prove that out in the Revelation Timeline Decoded videos and book. In the next video, we'll focus on the connection between Daniel 9, Daniel 12, and Messiah's Olivet Discourse. If this video helps you, please click on the thumbs up, make a comment, and share it with others. You can print out PDF summaries, request a free PDF copy of the 70th week of Daniel 9 Decoded book, or get a printed copy at www.70thweekofdaniel.com. That's all for today. I love y'all. Shalom.